Getting savvy. Oh, I'm getting savvier in how knowing how to record, because for
Yeah,
people who don't
savvier in
know,
tech.
savvier in
Exactly.
tech. That's right, because one of the episodes not even that long ago, I didn't hit the right button. So there you go.
I don't know if that was your fault or if it just we was recording and then it stopped recording when power went out. I don't know. Anyhow.
I don't know. So here we are, we're recording on Friday. We'll release it today, but and hopefully that gives people, it actually takes time to get through a podcast. I think some people know I listen to the All In podcast, which I love. I think they're some of the smartest guys out there and get really in depth in terms of some of the most important topics that impact the economy, business, and the markets. And anyway, it takes me about a week sometimes to get through that podcast because I do little spurts.
Yeah, and you know what? They're long. I find that like when the podcast is over an hour, if it's an hour or under, I can listen to it in one shot. And I actually, it's one of the ways that it motivates me to do cardio because I look forward to catching up on podcasts. And then I'm like, oh, okay, I'm gonna go for a walk. It's an hour walk. And I listen to All In as well. It's one of my favorite ones. And I also listen to The Drive, which is the Peter Attia podcast. And if you have time, if you're driving, no pun intended, but if you're going on a long drive or if you're walking, this week's episode he did was amazing. He
Really?
interviewed, because it was just so, he interviewed this woman who's a scientist, an oncologist, and was so impressive. And she worked for, so she started off her career as an oncologist, which is a cancer doctor specializing in Kaposi's sarcoma. And that's one of the cancers that was associated with AIDS and when people got extremely immunocompromised. So she was really sought after in the 80s and she dealt with a lot of AIDS patients. And she actually moved to Uganda with her husband to take care of all the AIDS patients there and the epidemic that was going on there. After that, she ended up working in the US and then started working for a biotech company. For a drug company and doing trials developing new cancer drugs. And the reason I think it's so inspiring and important to listen to this podcast is because so many people are negative on drug companies, or they think, ah, they're just out to make money and look at what they charge. And can you even trust that they're doing adequate trials? And when you listen to her story and the unbelievable genius mixed with compassion she has, and that the work they were doing on drug discovery, truly trying to create novel cancer drugs to help people, and the amount of money it takes to fund those trials, and the reason that fundraising is important, and the reason then they need to advertise these drugs. Because imagine you spend all this money doing a trial, and you create a drug that you think is going to save lives and you think is really going to improve people's lives. Don't you want people to know about it? You know, anyhow, and then she ended up being the CEO of the Melinda and Bill Gates Foundation. It's just like a phenomenal, it was just such a good episode.
Interesting.
Yeah, really worth listening to.
Yeah, I'll listen to that. There's definitely a few good ones out
And
there.
ours. So the
And
three you need to have
ours.
on your docket are All In, Getting Savvy,
In health and wealth.
In Health and Wealth, The Drive. And sometimes I like a little Mel Robbins mixed in there.
All right.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. So, okay, so it's Friday. How was your week?
Good. It was busy. I went out for a nice dinner last night. I went to a restaurant that I haven't been to in years. Have you ever been to Scaramouche? Yeah, I just hadn't been there in like 10, so long. Anyhow, I had a nice dinner, and my daughter's been shooting a small part in a movie in Hamilton this week, so it's been a little bit logistically chaotic organizing that and working and having somebody chaperone her and driving.
That's
But
amazing.
yeah, but it looks like we're getting some nice weather for the weekend, so that's good. How about you?
I feel like it was so busy and I'm trying to think of what I've been doing, but you know what I've been doing a lot of is actually really focused on the markets.
That's a
I'm,
full-time job.
it's a
It's
full-time job.
a full-time job. Like, what is going on? Okay, let's start. What's going on
Okay.
with the markets?
So, and by the way, I did a lot of shopping yesterday. Stocks.
Oh,
I did.
not as fun,
Oh, it is so
but
fun.
potentially,
It's
yeah.
so fun. It's so interesting. And So I watched the I don't know if anybody saw this, and it might sound boring, but it was actually really interesting in terms of what to take away from the US-UK trade agreement.
Yeah.
I watched
Well,
the
didn't
entire.
Trump himself say go buy stocks?
Yes, he
Yeah,
did.
he did.
Yeah. He did. Well, you sent me it was a clip
Yeah.
on yeah. So, but I didn't see actually didn't see that part. I thought I watched the whole thing. I guess I missed that part. But what was so interesting to me was, just the alignment of interests. It was very much, business oriented, not about he said, she said. Like, it was none of that, because that was even a question that was asked by one of the press people, which was like, did you talk about, I don't know, XYZ? And the trade negotiator said, no, like this is business. And interestingly, the UK economy has been very closed to the United States for 30, 40 years. So this was really opening up certain areas. Like, the United States can export more beef to Europe, right? There's always been a bit of an issue with North American beef going to Europe, saying, ah, oh, it's not done as well, et cetera. So it really was just emblematic of getting deals done, getting down to business, being rational, opening up markets with, in my opinion, this is the most, to me, the most important part, is that it's with, other Western civilizations. And I think that, to me, is what's very critical here.
So help me understand that, like, so the top three takeaways, I didn't even know that there was an issue with the US and the UK
Yeah.
before. So what, explain to me what, explain to me, give me the summary of the issue and what new we can expect, or is it just talking?
Well, so, it's funny. I didn't think you were going to ask me, so I almost didn't bother writing them down. So anyway, beef is one of them.
So they can
Ethanol is the.
now import our beef,
Yes,
and they
more
couldn't
open.
before.
Correct. US beef. I don't know if they couldn't. I don't know, but they're opening it up more. I don't know what the previous restrictions were. But there are
And this is
definitely.
just the UK.
Yes, because they're not part of
Okay.
the EU.
Okay.
So the opening up markets on both sides.
So what are we going to get from them?
Well, the US, not us.
Sorry.
Sorry, I don't mean to correct you,
Fair
but
enough. You're right. We are definitely not in the US
they're going to be allowed
yet.
to, so they don't, they're going to be allowed to export, I forget how many cars without being charged. They don't produce that many, and I think a lot of that's Rolls-Royce, but and then I think some of the, I don't like to say I think, but some of the parts that go into aerospace and defense,
Okay.
Rolls-Royce is a big engine maker, so I don't know if that, but yeah, it's like these are things that haven't been done in 20, 30, 40 years, and it's just another way to increase trade and the economy. So
But
I,
without tariffs or with tariffs?
well, there's still, will still be some tariffs, right? Like that's the other aspect too. Like, I don't know that we're going to get away from some blanket tariffs on various countries. Like that, I don't think that's going away. But nonetheless, when you open up markets for various sectors, it's a positive. And so I think the reason why I went shopping for stocks is because I think if this is emblematic of more to come, I think it makes a lot of sense. I think it's going to help the US economy. I think it will help other countries as well. And
Just the US being able to trade with the UK?
pardon?
I don't understand how it's going to help other people. Just the US being
More
able
trade, more trade.
more trade.
More trade.
So weird because on the one hand, everything else he's doing with these tariffs is all about less trade and more made in America. And now here he is with the UK saying more trade. I don't understand any of it. I
But
really
what it is it's very specific industries,
Okay.
right? So it's kind of looking at, it's looking at your business and basically saying, okay, well, where should
What do
we be
we
able to,
need?
where should we be able to do more? Okay, let's do it here. So I think it's very strategic. I think it's very pointed, and I think it actually will help the US economy. I really
So
do.
what, so how did it relate to what stocks you were shopping for?
So, okay, so for me, it didn't necessarily relate to the stocks, other than I think it's going to be positive for the economy. And I'm not just saying the UK, because I think that's what you're kind of focused on, how much can the UK help the US, but it is actually a very large trading partner globally. And I just think that, companies and deals are actually going to be better than what they have been. And I also think that, there is certainly still a concern that the economy is slowing. So we had the Fed, the FOMC meeting this week. So this is the US Federal Reserve. They did not lower their rates. And there is the view that they should be lowering the rates because the economy is slowing in the midst of all of this uncertainty. And so, there's always a time lag. You put these deals in place, how long does it take to really see the results, the revenue rise, et cetera? I just think that the Fed will actually have to cut rates this year. So I'm kind of speaking out of both sides of my mouth. I do think medium to longer term, all of this is going to be positive for the United States. So I want to go long the US. Remember, the market had been selling off because people were saying the US has lost its exceptionalism. I didn't believe it then. I don't believe it now. I've been buying stocks over the past couple of months. And I firmly believe that they'll continue to do very well. But in the real intermediate term, I do think that the Fed might have to lower rates. In which case, that when they lower rates, it eases up. There's potentially more money flowing out there. It's positive for risk assets. So I ended up buying and the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ. I bought an ETF that represents tech stocks.
Okay, I like that.
And I bought HXQ. That's from Global X. That's their product. And then I also looked at BMOS, which is ZNQ. They also have ZQQ. You can do hedged or unhedged, but yeah. So I went long. I used Canadian dollars. So this is really important. I didn't want to use my U.S. dollars to buy this, so I used Canadian dollars. So you can use Canadian dollars to buy an ETF that represents the NASDAQ, which is obviously American.
So you're kind of converting your Canadian money to American by doing that.
Well, you don't take the you don't.
No,
Have to
but I mean,
convert,
all
but
of a sudden,
yes.
like you bought it with Canadian money, and the profits that you're going to make or the increase in value is going to be in American.
If it's unhedged,
Yeah.
yeah, that's what I did.
And that's what you did. So, yeah.
But it's the ETF company that manages the currency. So you don't. So it's really important that for people who say, "Well, hey, I don't have any U.S. dollars, but I have Canadian dollars," there are these ETFs out there, these products out there that can give you exposure to many, many markets. So I
Yeah,
thought,
that's what a lot of people are saying. That I was reading something that someone's saying that everybody's so negative on Canada, but yet we can still buy American stocks and participate in a
that's right.
tax-advantaged way here in Canada. So that seems to be like the move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I did.
Very complex, very confusing.
Well, a lot of moving pieces and parts, and I think that some of the smartest people out there, are there's just they don't know, but I think that too when you buy good companies. So I also actually, because you and I both listened to the All In podcast, on April the 26th, they talked a lot about Google,
Yeah, Alphabet. Yes,
and
I heard that.
I haven't seen their podcast yet today, so I don't know what's on it because they release on Fridays as well. I'm hoping they're going to keep talking about Google. Anyway, I bought Google.
I like that. I was thinking about it, right? So Adam, like I know how everybody uses their own AI. Like everybody has their favorite. So I tend to use ChatGPT. I know you use Grok. Adam uses Gemini, which is Google AI, and he says it's fantastic. And a big thing they talked about on the AI on the All In podcast was how they need to figure out how to, like, there's so many Google users, how to push Gemini down people's throat to get it to be more dominant of a player, especially if it's already so good. And then talking about the other positive is that they own Waymo, and they don't talk that much about it. And Waymo seems to be leading the race for robotaxis. Right now, I think we're getting some in Toronto. Did you read
Are
that?
we?
Yeah, I think that's coming here. So I will definitely, as soon as I can, I want to take a ride. And I just saw that Google is merged with some nuclear power plant to try to generate more energy that they're going to need for their AI. So I thought that was interesting. And then I was trying to think, do I think that it will decrease their ad revenue? Like, are less people Googling things?
Apparently.
Yes, and I
apparently.
also think like when I use ChatGPT over Google, it's because I want to like research a topic. It's not really because like I want to get more information, but I still will Google something. If I Google like Botox near me, then those ads are still going to be relevant. I'm not going to use ChatGPT for something.
Right.
So I think that people will still continue to use Google for that. I think they're using ChatGPT and AI when they're looking to research. Do research as opposed to
Agreed.
buy things. So I like Alphabet also.
Yeah. And it's also quite unloved right now because of some of these concerns. When I say unloved, unloved by, the big players out the big money managers and hedge funds. And I often find that's a great opportunity. Some of the price targets I've seen out there from some of the analysts are like 30% higher. It is, like I say, it's unloved, but those items are known. We also know that I think they have 271 million subscribers. The commentary to your point is that Gemini is one of the best AI tools, which makes sense because they've got the most information, right? AI is generative off of the information that your own data. So you've got that. And then I think they also made the point that, Waymo does what, 250,000 rides a week right now, and they're only in four cities. And I don't think the street, when I say the street, I mean analysts and investors, I don't think that they're giving the Google valuation any credit for Waymo or what it can be. So for all of those reasons,
I like it.
I
I think
bought the
that was,
stock.
yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of, yeah, I was thinking similar. I was thinking similar to you on that after listening to
Yeah.
that as well. And also just like in my own experience of like living life and what am I using and what am I seeing and that
Yeah.
sort
Yeah.
of thing.
What's on your docket? What are you thinking these days?
So I saw an interesting study on the birth control pill and on how it's significantly, people that you have used the birth control pill have a significantly lower risk of ovarian cancer. Because less op so the birth control pill stops ovulation, okay? So basically tricks the body into thinking it's pregnant. And therefore, your body does not release an egg each month and you don't ovulate. And that's why it works as birth control. So they think that part of what causes ovarian cancer is that each month when you ovulate, there's the chance for it to go awry, for it to cause like a mutation and start a cancer process. So the more ovulations you have, the higher your chance of ovarian cancer. So if you're on the birth control pill, less ovulations. If you have multiple pregnancies, less ovulations. If you breastfeed, less ovulations. So contrary to that, for people that have never been pregnant, never breastfed, and never been on the pill, they may be at, well, they are at higher risk for ovarian cancer. Now, it's still a very rare disease. It's kind of, it's not, you know, it's not one of the more common cancers, but I just thought I'm going to look here at the, see if I can find exact stats from the study. Now, the other thing, so the pill will reduce that risk. And da, 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 da. So it says here, so I don't know, I can't find the exact statistics, but it was enough to make me stop and be like, because we've talked about this before, how more patients in perimenopause are actually starting to take low-dose birth control pill. And it made me feel comforted that because sometimes you worry, am I putting myself at risk, at increased risk for breast cancer? And you might slightly be increasing your risk for breast cancer, but you are significantly decreasing the risk for ovarian cancer. However, I then saw another thing that for some younger women that go on the pill, you have to balance this positive with the fact that it can lower testosterone levels. So much so that they actually found a 20% decreased size of the clitoris on women on birth control pill compared to women, yes, from a decrease in testosterone levels.
Do you think that happens when you're like in your 20s on birth control?
Yeah, so they say that some women on the birth control pill, it affects their libido.
Well, I guess, yeah, lower testosterone
Less lower
would.
testosterone, lower
That's
sexual
so
pleasure.
crazy.
Yeah, so it's so hard. Like, this is the problem with anything in life. It's like you have to weigh the pros with the cons. And then decide what's the most important. to you. You know, do I think someone should just go on the pill to lower their ovarian cancer risk? No, unless they're someone that's at higher risk. If you have a BRCA gene mutation and
Wow.
you're not a childbearer, like you haven't had children yet and you don't want to remove your ovaries, then going on the birth control pill could be a smart thing to do. So it's something that's worthwhile talking to your doctor about, not just, oh, I need birth control, go on the pill, but talk about, are there some benefits, preventative, taking medications like this?
Well, I
So.
wonder though too, Melissa, you and I joke and people don't necessarily know this, but I'll share it. I always felt like I probably had a lot of testosterone, like more than normal,
Okay.
whatever normal is, when I was younger, because like I went, I was competitive in a sport and, went to Wall Street, and that's ultra uber competitive, more than a sport. It is a sport. So I would have been, it would have been interesting to know if there's any correlation to how much testosterone I or you had versus
Yeah,
the average.
I know. It's
And do I,
interesting.
and I
I mean, I
want to,
think,
by the way, I want it back. I want it back.
well, you can take supplemental testosterone, and a lot of women do.
What does it do? I mean, I've heard
A
women who
lot
are
of women
doing
do.
that are
So
like,
some women take it as like a troche, like you just put it in your cheek, like it's a little dissolvable kind of method of taking it. Some people use it as a cream that they rub on them, either vaginally or topically. And some people get an injected pellet.
yeah.
And it can definitely increase libido. It can increase sexual pleasure. And some women find it helps with energy and muscle mass and decreasing body fat. Now, the downside is you have to get the dose right, because if you take too much, you can get hair growth on your body, not on your head. Acne, you can get increased size of the clitoris, like clitoromegaly.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and you can get a deepened voice.
Oh goodness.
So you don't want to just go take a ton of testosterone,
No.
you know, you, but we are using it more and more for sure, especially in perimenopause.
Yeah, but it would be interesting to know what like what your levels were
I
when
know.
you were a peak performer.
The problem is it's the assays are not sensitive enough. Most of the women that I do testosterone on, like when I do their blood work, it all just comes back less than 20. Like everybody's low on a blood work. Because
Okay.
they're not sensitive enough to pick up the tiny little changes. And actually, when you say high in testosterone, like estrogen can convert to testosterone. So sometimes if you're high in estrogen, you might also be high in testosterone, like it converts. So it's possible that you were high in hormone levels, both. And
Yeah.
we just don't know.
That's something that would have been interesting to know.
But what would you
Anyway.
have done about it? Nothing.
No, but I'd want it now. I'd want to
You would
know.
have to take it. The only way to find out is to experiment a little bit.
Yeah.
Take a little bit
I
and see.
will. I will. I definitely want to do that. Is the funny thing is though, and I think a lot of people are feeling this just after, the election, and then of course all the uncertainty, surrounding Canada. And we also have, part of the commentary today for me and my side, what I'm looking at is, even just with what's going on in Canada. I mean, is Alberta going to separate? Is that, will that happen? What kind of, I did an interview for my television show this morning with an energy money manager, and I started the intro by saying, you're basic, he, you've got a 5D chess game going on. And then as he listed all the factors and facets of what it's like to invest in energy right now, is Carney going to allow, is he going to give some allowances to Danielle Smith? Because, they've been, the energy sector in Canada has been decimated for the past 10 years, and he's against energy. So is that going to change? And if not, is she going to separate? Is Alberta going to separate? Is there a deal to be had? This is how I'm thinking. Is there a deal to be had with, Alberta and the United States going at like this north-south corridor, like Texas of the North? Because if they can't get their product out east or west, can you, go north-south and then east and west? Like, what does all that look like? Anyway, my point in bringing that up, I wanted to bring it up anyway, but I think there's just so many unknowns, Rick. Not unknowns, but I don't have anxiety, but like there's a lot of heightened uncertainty, I would say, So when you say try some testosterone, I'm like, yeah, but I don't know where my head's at right now. I'm like,
Well, the
now's,
nice thing about
I'll wait a
that,
few months for things to
the
calm
nice
down.
thing about that, but that's like how someone's saying, I don't know about the market, so I'm just going to wait and I'm going to wait and I'm going to wait, and they never get in.
True.
And I think with something like this, when something it's like not an experimental, and something that's the safety profile is pretty good, you do a trial and you say, okay, I'm going to try it for 3 months and that's it. And then
Yeah.
stop. So it's one of those things that I think that sometimes people are more likely to create errors of omission sometimes than errors of commission.
Yep.
They make mistakes by not acting as opposed to the ones from acting. People seem to be more psychologically afraid of errors of commission.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love the saying, it was my father saying, indecision is a decision.
Yeah. I like that. And a lot of people make, yeah. You have to be able to be decisive.
Yeah. And to your point, if you make a mistake, you make a mistake.
There's certain things where if you make a mistake, it's a big problem, right? But on certain things
Right.
like this, it's like if you make a mistake and you don't like it, you just stop. Like there's no real huge downside.
Agreed. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's funny though, because when especially with Trump and the whole his issues with gender and if men were sitting here on the podcast and you were listening to the All In guys being, I just think I need a little estrogen.
What?
You'd be like, what? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't seem like something that, but
Men
the
would talk
reality is,
about.
yeah, but men have estrogen, women have testosterone. We all have different ratios and amounts, but anyhow, it's funny.
That's funny. Yeah, they wouldn't talk about it, but they
No,
should.
they wouldn't talk about it, but.
Right, what else on your docket today?
So a study, B12, so vitamin B12, I'm sure you've had yours tested before. Have you ever taken a B12 shot or
Yeah.
taken it? Yeah. So when we do blood work on patients, the blood work comes back with a normal range. And as we see blood work come back, oh, you're in the normal range. You're good. Nothing gets flagged. The study I saw in the Journal of Neurology showed that they think that especially for seniors, the range needs to be changed. They think that even if you're in the normal range of B12, you may need to have higher B12 levels. They're finding that the lower B12 levels seem to be correlated with worsening memory, dementia, and white
Huh.
matter changes in the brain. So this
Wow.
is another example of what's the downside of giving someone a B12 shot? Not much. Because B12 is a water-soluble vitamin. And like we've talked about fat-soluble and water-soluble before. So for water-soluble vitamins, if you take too much, your body will urinate it out. So it can't really do much harm. Whereas if you overdose on a fat-soluble vitamin, you could store too much and it could build up in your body and your fat stores. So it was interesting to see that. It made me think, oh, next time I do, because every annual physical I do blood work, and I do B12 as part of their physical, and it will make me pay more attention. So even if a patient's in sort of like the low normal range, I may recommend or I will recommend a B12 shot. And the reason I say a B12 shot over the oral is because part of the reason that people are deficient is because as you get older, people don't absorb it as well. Being on certain medications also blocks the absorption. So, if you're taking diabetes drugs, metformin, even the birth control pill, it can decrease the amount that your body's able to absorb. So, rather than giving someone an oral supplement that they're not going to absorb, just give them a shot.
Interesting. It's funny when we talk about all these details, like, this can do this and this can do this and this, et cetera. I'm like, it's amazing we're still walking.
I know. It's science, right? So science is all about trials and hypotheses and testing and,
But it's interesting, like, why, other than, this study aside, why would you have, like, why does the blood work include B12? What does B12 do for you?
because we know it's correlated with certain diseases
Oh.
and illnesses. Yeah. So low B12 levels, you can have worse metabolism, you can have higher risk of dementia, you can have lower energy. So that's why
Right.
some of the old school, some of the weight loss programs used to include a B12 shot. So I do B12 and I do folic acid to make sure people are in good range. And in terms of
Wow.
getting it in your diet, and this is another thing too, now that more people are on the GLP-1 drugs, they may not be eating as much. And so they might be even more deficient in certain vitamins and nutrients. So foods that are high in B12 are going to be your meats. So
Oh, your
chicken,
meat?
meat, chicken,
Huh.
fish, red meat, and dairy. So if you eat a lot of meat and dairy, you're probably good, unless you're on an antacid, some medication that affects the acid levels in your stomach. You might not be absorbing it, or if you're on certain medications.
What other vitamin is associated with illness?
Well, iron.
Iron, yeah.
So I often test, the ones that I test are vitamin D, B12, folic acid, and iron via a ferritin level. Those are sort of my basic ones. Some people I'll add on calcium and magnesium, but it's not as accurate.
Interesting. Okay.
And it's funny. So talk about AI and ChatGPT. I'm getting more and more patients coming in showing me the health plan and the vitamin supplement plan that their ChatGPT has created for them. I've even had some patient come in showing me what ChatGPT showed me that the ideal treatment for her face was in terms of Botox, filler, units, what she should get.
What?
Yep. She came in and she's like, I need, she's like, do you carry Skinvive? I'm like, yes, I do. And she's like, that's the new filler. She's like, ChatGPT says that that's what I need for hydration for my skin and for like just a subtle amount of lip volume. And ChatGPT told her, based on facial analysis, where she should do Botox, like what areas of her face. It was amazing. So I'm like, okay.
So you did it?
Sure. And then if you type in to like, let's say you type into ChatGPT, I am, perimenopause, or you could say I'm a perimenopausal female. I eat a balanced diet. I'm normal weight. What vitamins and supplements should I be taking for
Interesting.
health and longevity? It will print out a whole list and the doses and why they would recommend it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't
It's
this
super interesting, the
fascinating?
information that you can get. Actually, the latest AI thing that I'm using and experimenting with is an app called Cal AI. Okay.
Cal AI, okay.
Yeah. So it's basically a way you take a picture of your meal and it will
Okay.
analyze the
Ooh.
calories as well as the grams of protein, fat, and carbs in it. So I thought I want, because I'm pretty good at knowing these things just from years of
Yeah.
experience. So I'm experimenting with, because I'm looking at it as something that a tool that I can give my patients to use. I'm counseling them on weight loss or, protein intake, that sort of thing. And so I'm starting to experiment in it. And I did it today with my let. So first of all, I put in my height and my weight, and I put in my goal of just maintaining. Like I don't want to lose, I don't want to gain. So it told me bang on how many calories that I should be consuming in a day, and it's exactly correct in terms of what I consume in a day. And it told me the grams of protein, carbs, and fat I should have. So I took a
Wow.
picture of the first meal. And yeah, we'll see how right it looked right to me.
That's so interesting. So, okay, so I'm going to use that. So we've learned a couple things today. So I'm going to listen to the drive. We're not
Oh my
leaving
gosh,
yet,
listen
but
to
I'm going
this
to listen to the
podcast.
drive. We've got
Yeah.
Cal AI, but then
Download it.
what? I'll download that, but what is the app that your patient used to take a picture of her face? Because
Just
some of
ChatGPT.
really?
Yep. You can upload pictures in it. Experiment with it.
Okay. I
Yeah.
don't know if you can do that with Brock, maybe.
And I think you can create project. You just have to play around with it. Yeah. Say I am looking for a facial analysis of what treatments I may benefit
Oh.
from at this age and with my appearance.
Okay.
So play around. It's all about really, it's just like, and the speed with which it's improving, I notice it from using it. Like it's rapid. It's scary.
Yeah, that's what's so incredible about it. So, going back to the markets and trade and Trump, and what's the big picture here, right? And some people believe that what President Trump is trying to do, because remember, most people would agree that China has stolen many IPs from the United States, from
Okay.
technology, various patents over the course of many years, including potentially ones surrounding AIs. So that's why that was the huge issue, and is an issue in some ways with NVIDIA selling any kind of AI chips to China, because at the end of the day, big picture, what we're looking at right now is potentially an AI arms race. So
Oh, wow.
whoever wins an AI wins. That's it. That's one of the views out there, right? So, if so, I'm also thinking about, okay, and we've talked about this going back months ago, like, what's the best way to play AI, right? You and I have talked about NVIDIA. We've talked about data centers. We've talked about
Energy.
energy, the use of energy to power up these centers. So I'm kind of also for the past this week, I've been like, just kind of really thinking about what's the best play. It also leads me to believe in some ways, a deal for Alberta with the United States, some kind of direct deal makes sense to me in the way that they've got energy, but they also have water.
Yeah.
And a cool temperature.
Yes.
So there's a
Makes a
lot.
lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. Now,
Alberta
quick
has.
question. Would you move to Calgary?
Yeah. I don't
Interesting.
want to, but I mean, it's not, I love Calgary. And in fact,
I think for young people, I think
yeah.
that more young people are going to be moving there.
Absolutely. That was
Yeah.
another thing I was doing this week. I was looking at condos, and then I was
Real
looking at
estate.
farmland in Calgary.
Yeah.
What am I doing? But I think it's, when you think about what matters in the world today, it's still very much energy. The
And
historically,
nuclear energy. Yes.
maybe it's cheap and cleaner, but yes. But I think that if you look historically, the countries that have the cheapest cost of energy are the ones that are the most productive and the richest countries.
Yes, which is why we talked about it. I think you have to rebrand Alberta and make it like Dubai of the North.
Yeah.
When Dubai gets too hot and it's 50 degrees and you can't go there, you come to Alberta and make it fancy and have, it could be that rich.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
So.
And the Liberal government for the past 10 years hasn't allowed it to be. So it's, but when you look at the demands for energy, natural resources, potash, which is Saskatchewan, but the temperature and water,
Just to keep
Alberta's,
cool, you mean? Because you want it to
yes.
produce so much heat. Yeah.
So Alberta is, it's
Well
obvious, it's
positioned.
always been on a gold mine, but like it's really interesting. So I don't, so anyway, but I did this week. I also spent time looking at how do I really invest in AI? What are the best ways to do it? And by the way, like NVIDIA has been in the penalty box because of this issue,
I
selling.
thought the issue was NVIDIA was not allowed to sell directly to China, but the chips are getting through other countries.
Well,
There's like a black market for it. Like they're buying it in other countries and then bringing it into China.
I've heard that as well.
And how do you stop that,
Yeah. I did see a news item today that, because I am looking at the stock, NVIDIA released a new version of its H20 chip to comply with US restrictions in order to keep China still as a client or a customer, but still comply with the United States. So anyway, NVIDIA's obviously been the go-to child for AI investing, but there's so many other areas that you and I've talked about. And maybe, what we should do next week, and for everybody to know, we do want to have some guests on. So we'll do some people in health and also on the wealth side. But maybe we'll bring an AI person on. I'll find somebody.
Yeah, I think that would be great. And I was going to have my cousin who's a neurologist. I want her to talk a little bit more about this B12 study, but also there's some new markers now available for Alzheimer's.
Oh.
So for private pay, if you're interested in doing a blood test to know if you carry any of these biomarkers, that's now available. And I want her to kind of explain who might benefit from that, why you may want to do that, and what it means.
That's a
So,
great idea. Okay, so maybe she can come on next week.
yeah, she was going to come today, but then the timing didn't work out. But
Okay. So
we'll try
let
and
me
set that
ask,
up for next week.
and so Melissa, so these biomarkers, and maybe we can have a session on what the heck a biomarker is and what's available, you know, like what can we use them for right now? But this biomarker is available in Canada. Really? And at what age do you think, and maybe she has the answer, at what age can you do this and get a reading in terms of a 20-year-old, would it show up, or do you need to be more
No.
50?
So this isn't a screening. This isn't to see if you carry a gene associated with it that you may develop it. That this is once you're having symptoms
Oh.
and you're kind of unsure, like, is this just normal aging? Is this Alzheimer's? Or could this be multi-infarct dementia? Or could this be Lewy body Parkinson's? Like, you just don't know what's going on. Or is this, this is where it can give you some diagnostic insight. And again, like I said, like, she can talk to us more about
Okay.
that and what you would do if you find out you're positive that you have these markers.
I'd rather know beforehand.
If you carry a gene, have you done your APOE4 gene test?
I have done something, yeah.
So I did mine. We do it at Wellness House as part of our, we have like a lifestyle DNA test that tells you APOE4 is included in that test. So if you have a variant in that gene, you are more likely to have late onset Alzheimer's. Late onset means after the age of 60, which I still consider early, but it just means
That's
you have
freaking early.
yeah. So you want to see which variant you have of that gene. So I was actually quite relieved that I didn't have it. Some people are like, well, I don't want to know because what would I do differently? But I do think you would be motivated to make sure that you're doing all these other things that they say help protect against it, like be much more serious about your exercise, about challenging your brain, about your diet, your nutrition, and about staying on top of new treatments and trials. So I do think it's worthwhile to do it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
Hi.
that's fine.
Hello, actor.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, good change. Anyhow, so yeah, I think it'd be good. And I just want to end on one other thing I saw, because I know that you've had challenges with back pain in the past, right? And it's so common. It's one of the most common things we see as family doctors, people coming in with chronic back pain. Also arthritis, especially as people age with like needing knee replacements. So I've read the study showing that this shoe intervention, okay, so by APOS Health, so think about it like a type of almost orthotic that
Okay.
you wear a few hours a day in these shoes and it changes the biomechanics of how you walk. And the studies have shown that it improves patients' pain, but also when they did the study, it really decreased the amount of people that ended up going to knee replacement compared to those that didn't, which is actually something you can measure. Like, pain is subjective, but when you look at the people that were treated needed less knee replacements than the people that weren't. And I thought that was worthwhile. So I actually asked a friend of mine here, works at the clinic next door. They have a physiotherapy and chiropractic clinic. I said, do we offer these in Canada? Because when I went online to their site, I saw what states they have these APOS trained physiotherapists, because it's sort of like Invisalign, where they fit you for it and then you need adjustments. So it's not like just here you go, here's your shoes, go. They a physiotherapist that works at, anyway, it's really interesting. It's not in, I couldn't find it in Canada, so I asked her to do a little digging to see if it is here. But yeah, I thought it
What's
was
it
just,
called again?
it's called APOS.
APOS.
Correct.
So it's Invisalign for the feet.
Yeah, well, that's the way I kind of thought about it. Yeah.
I'm going to look at that company because if
Right?
that's
So
true,
many
like
people.
if it really protects against knee replacements, because that's a really brutal.
And back pain. So many patients have knee pain, back pain. It affects the quality of your life.
Yeah.
And I mean, when we
Well,
look at something like Invisalign, like if I just said, oh, there's this plastic thing you put on your teeth and it just slowly moves them and changes your bite and changes your teeth. Years ago, we would have thought, oh, is that real? And now it's like huge and like a
right.
go-to for a lot of people. So,
And the stock had done incredibly well. Align Technologies is the company.
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Align Technologies is the company that created Invisalign, and it was
Oh,
a
Align
home.
for yes.
Yeah, it was a home run. Oopsie, it was a home run. But it'd be interesting to see who's behind APOS.
APOS Health, APOS
APOS
Health.com.
Health.
Look it
Okay.
up because you go to the States
Yeah.
all the time. So
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, it's they have it in New York, Florida.
Yeah, but Melissa, I do have orthotics.
But these aren't just your
No,
standard.
it's called high heels.
You have anti-orthotics.
Anti-orthotics.
And me too.
I
And
don't know it. Maybe it's going to help me. Who knows? I doubt it. Okay.
I don't think so. But there's
No.
something to be said. If you're still wearing high heels, that's going to be correlated with better health. So, like, you'd have to teach the people that are still wearing high heels as they age are going to be healthier because if you're not, you're not going to be wearing high heels.
That's so funny. I know
Or
people
you
are.
might have different like foot issues like bunions or
Yep.
genetic, like if you, certain things, arthritis and bunions are genetic. Like you can live the healthiest lifestyle and still have those issues. Anyhow.
Okay, so yeah, I think that's, from my perspective in the markets, that's the only other thing I would just say too. I don't know if you touched upon it, but well, we did a little bit, but the Fed did hold rates steady. And I think that a lot of investors are not, or strategists are saying, look, the Fed needs to move. The Fed needs to lower rates because the economy is slowing down. So we will see. The only one other thing I wanted to mention too is Expedia. Expedia to book your travel. They reported their most recent results this morning, very, very disappointing results. So people aren't. So it's,
Not traveling.
I always like that as a read, right?
Yeah, and that's what you see in the airport too. Like this was the quietest March break in the airport.
Was it?
Yeah. And people are cutting back. Like life is getting expensive. You have to cut out those luxuries.
Yeah, I'm definitely hearing that
Yeah.
in Canada. In Canada.
I think
And
in
the
the
States
US
too.
too.
Yeah, stocks down like 7%. But okay, so next week for everybody, we're gonna have hopefully a neuroscientist
Yep,
or neuro
neurologist.
neurologist. Okay. And
And
then AI.
AI.
Yeah, okay. All right. Have a great weekend.
We'll see you later.
Okay, bye.